Now that you've got these nine theories or categories, you say, mm-hmm. of extraterrestrial contact, let's go through each one. Take the entire hour for that. We'll take phone calls with you next hour.
Excellent.
And let's get a take, your opinion on these various aspects. Number one, you call the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Tell me about that.
Right. Well, I believe that is the name that is in use. It's not something I invented, but I found it in one of the current books on UFOs. And that is the one, probably, this is the theory that most of your listeners will be familiar with, and the one that gets a great deal of discussion on the airwaves in the United States. The essence of this theory is that there are aliens from a technologically advanced civilization who had made contact with the U.S. government and probably other governments in the world in 1947, if not a little earlier. And at that time, so this theory goes, these alien ET types cut a deal with the government, offering to give their advanced technology in exchange for the right to experiment on the population.
Nice trade, right?
Yeah, including both animals and people. So what proceeds then from this theory are the camel mutilation phenomena, CIA mind control conspiracies, and all of the stuff which you frequently talk about, and Art Bell also frequently talks about, regarding a cover-up of government knowledge of UFOs. We're all very, very aware that that is more than a likelihood. And there are two ways to, as we go through each of these nine theories or categories, there are two ways to evaluate each one of them. One is, and we can talk about the authors or the main proponents of that theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, we can consider, well, what actually is the evidence that supports this?
Okay, sure. And why cut a deal? Why not just do it? I mean, how can we stop them?
Well, this is, of course, a huge question. And the notion that such an important event in the evolution of humanity, the contact with another species, would be covered up and controlled by government agencies is more terrifying than the idea of contact itself, you
That's
know?
That's true.
I mean, most people, I think, who have considered and reflected on this hypothesis are aware that the greatest danger may come from our own government and rather than from the aliens who contacted the government. How to break through this? Well, do just what you do so frequently. Allow people to speak their minds, allow the witnesses to come forth, and get as much of the evidence as we can out there in the public domain. I mean, that is the one thing that is the best weapon against a conspiracy of silence in the extraterrestrial hypothesis.
Some of those proponents that you talk about, we know, Timothy Good, David
right.
Icke, George Andrews,
yeah.
and then
right.
David Jacobs, of course, truly believes that there's something threatening and sinister going on here.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to see how the hypothesis has somewhat evolved. I mean, I recognize sort of two main aspects of the extraterrestrial hypothesis. One is, of course, the government CIA connection, cover-up, underground bases, and so forth. The other one is the question of an interbreeding program, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's one thing to say, and it's pretty sinister and scary to say that a covert government made an agreement with aliens to allow them to experiment on our species. Then Jacobs, of course, goes even further and says, well, it's not just experimentation. They're not just giving us medical exams, you know, to find out how we work. They actually have a very extensive interbreeding program, the object of which is to produce some sort of hybrid entity.
And what we don't know is whether it's to take back to their own planet for some reason, or if they plan on having these hybrids take over this planet.
Well, very interesting question. Now, as you know, within this particular category, there are just hundreds of variations of and hundreds of kinds of speculation, one of which is that this species, which has come here in 47, possibly crashed at Roswell and so forth, is a dying species. I'm sure you're familiar with this idea that they are somehow in their own evolution on the down curve, and that possibly by interbreeding with us or genetically tapping into our gene base, our genome, they hope to save themselves. That's one possibility. If that were the case, then they wouldn't have the intention of coming in and replacing us in our own habitat.
Then using that old Twilight Zone movie to serve man, maybe they're using us as feed. You never know.
You never know. It's very, very spooky. In fact, we're starting here of these nine categories with the one that is not only the most well-known in terms of the American public, but also the one which has been reflected in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's been reflected in the science fiction medium for a long time, and usually with rather sinister overtones.
The second one is called the Benevolent Hypothesis, what you call Space Brothers. Tell
right.
us about that.
Well, you know, that's Odamski. That's really where it started. I mean, we have to go back to 47 again, and this remarkable coincidence. You know, George, I call it a triangulation.
Yeah.
Just think, the UFO phenomenon, the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is a UFO, they were a UFO cult, a contact cult, and the Nag Hammadi, which was an expose of the contact cult, all came to light in that fantastic summer.
That's true.
And if we go back to that time, and we go back to the first contactees, like George Adamski and so forth, you'll remember that in the beginning it was implied that they were space brothers. They were the tall blondes from Venus, and they really had come here neither to interbreed, neither to perform obscure experiments with us or with animals, but to warn us and help us. So you see, the Space Brothers, or Benevolent Hypothesis, as I call it, does stand apart from the extraterrestrial hypothesis, which tends to emphasize a sinister program.
Well, nice way to trick people, though. Befriend them first.
Well, there you go. That's very possible that that could be the case, and in that way the two categories would kind of merge. But they're very different in tone. As you know, if you go back and you read that original material, it was kind of euphoric. It was like, wow, we've finally been contacted by someone from outside our world, and they want to help us. They want to warn us about atomic energy. They want to warn us about the pollution of the environment. To tell you the truth, I do find that a little bit suspicious, and I'll tell you why. Because, as a matter of fact, in the late 40s and early 50s, when these initial contactees published their books, we were aware of those dangers, and we didn't need someone from outer space to tell us that we had the ability to destroy ourselves.
We needed them to fix it, not to tell us about it.
That's right.